Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
San Gabriel Island reactor has just gone critical. Core material is now airborne.
I thought we had more time.
At this room rate, the radiation will continue getting stronger and will spill into the atmosphere until the core has exhausted itself.
Son, you've done everything you can. Now get the hell out of there.
Evacuating won't make any difference, sir. We've already been exposed.
Jack has got to find the override before the rest of these reactors go critical.
I know about you and him, and I'm not okay with it.
Look, you and I aren't together anymore.
I thought we were trying to work things out.
I tried, but you kept putting it off.
What did you say to Paul?
And I'm filing for divorce.
Somebody set me up. Thousands of people's lives are at stake. Where are the people who control the override?
Talk to me, Sarah.
I'm not a spy.
Aaron Powell's dead. He was hit by a sniper as soon as we took him into custody.
Did you find anything from him before he was killed?
No, but I managed to get the last 10 calls he made off his cell phone.
He called two numbers repeatedly.
We traced one of them to Marianne Taylor.
You're under arrest.
Marianne's car explodes. Jack prevents Dina from shooting herself.
Don't move! Drop the weapon!
Listen carefully, Bearers. Government agents found me. I made a deal.
I don't understand.
You're going to be okay.
I'm going to help them stop your father.
You broke my heart.
If you kill me, Mother will tell them everything. If you don't believe me, look outside. They're coming to pick me up.
Drop the gun! You'll hit the boy!
Mom!
Let's stay with Elise in the basement. He's got nowhere to go but down. Set up a link with CTU now!
If you can't save my son, I am happy to see the reactors melt down.
Did you get that?
The following takes place between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Driscoll.
Aaron, it's Jack. Baruz is on the move. We're getting ready to move into the hospital now.
Navi drags Baruz through the basement.
You're joking me.
Jack, it's Jim. Bring us up to speed.
We have a hostage situation involving one of the men that was involved in the terrorist attacks this morning.
We're pulling up his ID now.
His name is Navi Arad.
Sleeper.
He was granted American citizenship 5 years ago.
Who's the hostage?
His 17-year-old son, Baruz. He broke ranks. Now his father sees him as a liability. Arad knows we have his wife in custody. He's worried that if he kills the boy, she'll betray him by cooperating with us.
What is she saying?
She's agreed to help us find the override and stop the nuclear meltdowns if we rescue her son.
So the father will stall, keep the kid alive until the reactors blow.
That's right, sir.
We already lost one in California, Jack. Can we trust this woman to help us?
I think right now she'll do everything she can to protect her son.
Okay, Jack, whatever you need, you've got. Just get that kid.
Yes, sir. Aaron, I'm going to need a thermal satellite scan of the building. We're looking for two heat sources in close proximity in remote areas of the basement.
Call you back as soon as we have something.
Yeah.
You're running out of time. Save my son.
Bring her with us. We're going to need her.
In a laundry room, Navi smacks Baruz across his bleeding mouth.
I said get on the floor.
Baruz kneels before his disgusted father.
You're not my son.
Why? Because I don't want to kill innocent people?
Because you're weak and you stand for nothing! I always saw you as something more. And now, I don't even recognize you.
Will that make it easier for you to kill me?
Navi turns away guiltily, attaches a scrambling device to his cell phone, and calls Marwan.
Yes, it's me.
Did you find your son?
Yes.
Is he dead?
Not yet.
Is there a problem, Navi?
Government agents have arrested Dina and surrounded the building that I'm in. I need the boy for leverage, but I'm not sure how much longer I can hold him off.
Has Dina told them anything?
I don't think so. And she won't, as long as I don't kill the boy. How much more time do you need to melt down the remaining nuclear power plants?
1 hour, maybe two.
Why? Why so long?
The Americans have programs trying to prevent the meltdown. That means we have to manipulate each plant individually, and that takes time.
I'll hold them off as long as I can.
I know you will.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency.
Yeah?
Jack, I think we found a Roz and his son.
Where?
We have two thermal readings in the north wing of the basement.
What's there?
Laundry room.
How many ways in?
Just one, but according to the blueprints, there's a laundry chute.
Is it accessible?
From the third floor. It looks big enough to get a man in.
Okay, we're on our way. We got him.
Laundry room.
This is Bauer. I need two teams to the north wing. Set up a hard perimeter. We're moving to the third floor. I need a fast line and a repelling harness.
Copy that.
Lee, give me Dina a Raz. We're putting her into play.
Got it.
As Jack and Tony run up the stairs to the third floor, Driscoll approaches Edgar.
Where are the latest timing estimates on the remaining nuclear plants?
Right here.
These are from 40 minutes ago. They update every 15 minutes.
I'm sorry, Miss Driscoll. I've been a little upset about my mother.
You're going to have to put your emotions on hold a little longer, Edgar. We're in the middle of a crisis.
My mother just died, Miss Driscoll. I can't put that on hold.
I'm sorry. That was callous of me. But I'm really depending on you now, Edgar. Please come through for me.
I'll get you those figures as soon as we're done here.
Thank you.
All right, bring me up to speed.
Trying to hold off the meltdown process on 5 nuclear power plants.
How's that going?
Our programmers are trying to fight off the override. They can slow it down, but they won't be able to stop it.
Which means we still have to find the override.
Yes.
Jack has a suspect cornered in a local medical facility, and we're fairly certain this man he's pursuing is one of the key architects in today's events.
Can we take him alive?
Unknown.
What about Marianne Taylor?
I sent Curtis to interrogate her.
406. Marianne is bound to a chair in a holding room, while an operative attaches lie detector electrodes to her wrists. As the operative leaves, Curtis enters and observes her moodily from the door. Marianne bows her head.
I want to call my lawyer.
Really?
I do have rights.
Yeah? Henry Powell had rights too.
I don't know any Henry Powell.
The one who helped the terrorists obtain the override. He's right here. Want to say hello?
Curtis calls through an open door.
Bring him in.
A trolley is wheeled in next to Marianne. Curtis whips back the sheet to reveal Powell's dead body. Marianne shrinks back in revulsion.
You sick. Sick bastard.
CTU didn't kill him.
Well, then who did?
The same people who planted the bomb under your car. Whoever they are, they've caught up with you. Even if we let you go, you'd be dead in 15 minutes. Get him out of here.
Powell's body is wheeled away as Marianne is left to ponder her predicament.
Your only chance to survive is to tell us what you know.
I want a deal.
You get to live. That's your deal.
All right.
Who did you and Powell work for?
I don't know. I only dealt with him.
Why'd he send you to CTU?
To cover his tracks in case it became necessary.
And after Algerine saw him at the warehouse, it became necessary.
Yes.
Did Powell work directly for the terrorists? Or for someone else associated with the terrorists?
I told you, I don't know.
I need names. People who can get us to the override.
I don't have any names. I can get him for you.
How?
Hal kept a file on his computer in his office downtown. It was an insurance policy in case either of us ever needed a bargaining chip.
You mean the address and the access code?
It can't be accessed externally. It requires a thumbprint identification, either his or mine. Since he's dead, it'll have to be mine.
End of part one.
All right, you set?
Yeah. We think we found them.
Where?
The basement in the laundry room. Our satellite picked up two thermal images.
Then Barrows is still alive.
Yes. I'm going to need you to distract your husband.
I'm going to take you down to the basement. In 1 minute, we're going to have you call your husband. We need you to keep him on the line as long as possible.
All right.
Let's go.
Jack is attached to a harness and lowered down the laundry chute by Agent Castle.
Ready?
Ready.
4:10. Jack descends head first, hanging by a rope.
Okay. Keep going. 6 feet. 4 feet. 3 feet. Stop.
All right. Checking his watch, Tony hands Dina his phone.
Okay. Make the call. And remember, keep them on as long as you can.
Dina calls Navi, who busies himself checking the contents of a utility cupboard. Navi tentatively takes the call.
Yes?
It's Dina.
Where are you?
Still in the hospital.
What have you told them?
Nothing. And I'll keep my mouth shut if you release her son.
You know I can't do that.
Then at least promise me you won't kill him.
Navi, please. He's our son.
You turned him against me. Our sacrifice is nothing compared to the martyrs who have given all they have for our cause. No, he can still be of service.
Is he still alive?
Yes. And he'll remain alive as long as you remain silent. How am I to do this thing now? We planned this mission together. We thought it out as if of one mind. Then you betrayed me. Don't tell me that.
I have a visual on the suspect. The boy is still alive. I'm ready to proceed.
Go.
Jack drops down into the laundry room and releases the harness.
Your conspiracy with him is over. I won't allow you to continue it right in front of me. The boy's all I have. The only thing that keeps them from storming through that door. Of course it's true. But in the end, he'll wind up a martyr just...
Slowly retract the wreck. I'm in position.
And you will suffer an even worse fate. You'll have to live knowing that everything you loved in your life is dead. Your son... Your brother, yes, your brother too.
Navi is startled by the sound of the retracting harness striking the metal laundry chute.
Don't.
Beruz stays on his knees as Navi takes out his gun and moves slowly towards the back room to investigate. Jack waits for him, in position. As Navi enters the door, Jack smacks him in the face with a backhammer punch and kicks him to the floor. Navi's gun slides across the room. Jack has him covered.
Get up slowly. Put your hands on your head.
Stay with her.
Put your hands on your...
Navi attacks.
Hostiles engaged.
I repeat, hostiles engaged.
Jack and Navi fight hand to hand. Meanwhile, Beruz crawls across the floor and grabs Navi's pistol. Jack finally overcomes Navi by headbutting him to the floor.
I don't want to have to kill you, but I will. Now get up. Slowly.
As Navi places his hands on his head, Tony makes his way to the laundry room, followed by Dina and more CTU agents.
Interlock your fingers.
A gunshot rips through Navi's heart, and he collapses to the floor, shot by his own gun, quivering in Beruz's patricidal hand.
It's okay, son. Just put the gun down. It's over. It's over.
Tony bursts in, pointing his gun at Beruz.
Drop the gun! Drop the gun!
After a tense standoff, a stunned Beruz surrenders the gun onto a table.
Hands on your head! Turn around.
Tony searches Beruz as Jack checks that Navi is dead. Dina arrives.
Beruz, are you all right?
I killed him! I did it! I killed Father!
Your son is safe. He's alive. We did what you asked. Now, where is the override device?
I don't know that, but I can give you an address where much of the work behind today's attacks was done.
That's not the deal we made.
That's all I know. I can only tell you what I know.
What's the address?
24878 Albert Street.
What's there?
It was a drop-off. The place we used to get our final assignments. It was the last place I saw the man who were going to take possession of the override.
When was that?
Yesterday.
Send in an advance team. Tell them to set up a hard perimeter. No one goes in there until we get there.
You got it.
What about these two? Until we know she's not lying, then come with us.
4:19. Haller in the briefing room.
So this Marianne Taylor claims she has to access the file personally.
Yes, she does.
And do you believe her?
I'm not sure. The polygraph indicates that she's telling the truth. But in my opinion, she may be a sociopath.
Are you a psychologist?
No, but I have had dealings with her before.
Dealings that might affect your judgment?
No.
Well, we have to check it out. The question is how.
I can spare an operative from the cyber unit and security team.
What do you think?
I think Curtis should go.
I need Curtis here.
The information on the computer file may be important. Someone with experience needs to examine it firsthand.
I agree. Send Curtis with a security team, and you'll have to figure out how to do without him till he gets back.
Yes, sir.
Outmaneuvered, Driscoll leaves with Curtis.
I don't like this.
Neither do I, but those are our orders. Get it done and get back here as quickly as you can.
Okay.
Driscoll visits Sarah in the clinic, her mascara run with tears, as she recovers from her torture ordeal.
You okay? Anything you need?
I'm fine.
You understand, Sarah, I had no choice. You were identified as a threat to security, and I acted accordingly.
I would have hoped you had more faith in me.
Personally, I do. But the evidence was brought to me by the Secretary of Defense, and I couldn't very well ignore it.
So what happens now?
You can go home and rest. No one would blame you if you did. But if you're up to it, I could use you on the floor. The San Gabriel Island reactor went into meltdown less than an hour ago. The 5 remaining plants are critical. I need my best people in play.
Back to work.
Thank you, sir.
4:21. A look of deep resentment etches into Sarah's face. Marianne to Curtis.
Shouldn't be too complicated. Building security is light. I have a key card that'll get us into Powell's office.
How long is it going to take?
5 minutes to get up to his office, another 5 to download the data.
So we're looking at a 15-minute operation time?
Approximately.
If I think you're stalling, taking longer than you should, I will take action. You got that? Raise your leg. Don't make me do it for you.
She places her foot on the table.
Curtis, I'm not gonna run.
Then you won't mind wearing it.
He tags her ankle.
Can I put my foot down now?
Yes.
Look, I realize that after today, you have a hard time trusting me. But if we're going to pull this off, you're going to have to.
I don't have to do anything. Except retrieve the data your boyfriend hid and put you in jail for treason.
Is that what you really want?
Without a doubt.
Curtis.
Get your hand off me.
An icy glare from Curtis makes her quickly peel her hand from his shoulder, and she numbly follows him out. Audrey to Hella.
I spoke with Mike at the local DOD office. He wants to know who you want to bring in to help manage with their load.
Things are too unstable for me to leave here. I have to keep my eye on tactical.
Well, I checked with their logs, and they're going to need someone pretty soon.
How are you holding up?
I can handle it, if that's what you mean. And it'll be fine.
Why don't you head over there, then?
Okay, I'll call you from there.
As Edgar struggles to deal with his mother's death, Sarah quietly slips back into her seat at her workstation.
Sarah, you're back.
Yeah.
I heard some rumors about what they were
doing.
I'll
be all right. Just bring me up to speed.
Sure. We're still trying to find the override. It's the only way we're going to stop the remaining plant from melting down.
What have you gotten out of Marianne so far?
She claims she has access to a computer that has data on it about the override.
And which computer is this?
She's taking Curtis over to it now.
They let her out of the building?
Yeah, he's got a security team with him.
And we trust her because...
She's trying to cut a deal. Curtis can take care of her. We need to mobilize tactical to support Jack.
Jack and Tony pull up behind a CTU roadblock in a quiet suburban street. Meruz and Dina remain captive in the four-track as Jack rendezvous with the backup team commander.
Agent Bauer? Agent Solars?
Agent Almeida. You set your perimeter yet?
Anything inside four blocks is not going anywhere.
Any activity?
Not that we've seen.
Okay, I want to keep this as surgical as possible. You, me, and Almeida will be the insurgent team. Your men will maintain backup. You ready?
Yeah.
Meruz watches blankly from the four-track as Jack, Tony, and Solaris approach a one-story house at the address given to them by Dina. Weapons at the ready. Jack and Tony take up their positions by a back door. 4:25, Jack and Tony enter an empty house.
We're clear!
Dina must have been lying.
I don't think so. She wants to save her son.
Well, then they must have cleared this place out.
Bring in a forensics team now. I want this place torn apart for fingerprints.
Yes, sir.
As Solaris leaves to convey Jack's instructions, Jack and Tony scour the dingy, derelict room with torches. In a far corner, Jack spots an electric cable running from a plug down between the bare floorboards.
Tony.
What is it?
They sidle over to the cable and examine the wooden floorboards. They seem to be loose, so they carefully peel them back and remove them one by one. Beneath, they see the cable boring through a narrow hole in a square board. Jack looks across to Tony and understands what to do. Jack pops his torch into his mouth, points his gun towards the hatch, and pulls the wire cord tight in his hands. Tony covers him by his side. Beneath the board is a small square opening to a basement. Jack climbs down a fixed ladder and enters a dark underground room.
It's clear.
Piercing the gloom with the glare of his torch, Jack spots a light switch among a spaghetti of cables and turns it on. The light reveals an operations bunker with pictures, diagrams, and planning details pinned to each of the walls. Tony drops down the ladder to join him.
This morning.
They scrutinize the details.
So that's how the terrorists got a hold of the override.
Jack's attention is drawn to a far wall. He pores over multiple images and information, trying to piece it all together. Images of Hela.
Jack?
Tony takes a look and sees a photo of Richard Heller's house, and a newspaper clipping of Secretary Heller addressing the press with Audrey and Jack standing attentively in the background.
They plan the kidnapping here.
Yeah.
4:27. End of part two. Part three. 4:32.
Edgar. The location Jack is searching didn't show up on any agency watch list.
Yeah, well, I'm having a hell of a time here.
Why?
The building's owned by a company that's owned by another company that's owned by an LLC.
Wait, hold on. Galaxy Financial? I've heard that name before.
No, Hal, I want you to put that in a separate file. We'll handle the kidnapping and the train bombing another day. Right now, I only want things that are pertinent to helping us find the override device.
Okay, I'll have it up on the system when you get here.
Okay, thanks. Tony, look, I need to talk to you. I'm sorry. Just give me a minute. Yeah?
Jack, this is Sarah from CTU. Listen, I got something on that address you gave to Edgar.
What is it?
The ownership of the building is complicated, but I recognize one of the shell corporations on the ladder.
Which one?
Galaxy Financial.
I've never heard of it.
Neither did I until this afternoon. When Paul Raines came in, I was the one who ran his clearance.
Paul Raines, what does he have to do with the company?
He's a general partner in Galaxy Financial.
You're telling me that Audrey's husband owns the building that was used by the terrorists to plan this morning's attacks?
According to this, yes.
Where's Audrey now?
She's on her way over to DOD.
Patch her through to me.
Audrey in her car.
Yep. Miss Raines, this is Sarah from CTU. I've got Jack. Hold, please. All right. You're on. Go ahead.
Audrey, it's me.
Hey, did you find anything at the address?
Yeah, the building was used by the terrorists to plan this morning's attacks.
Jack, that's a great find.
Yeah, there's something else.
What?
The company that owns the building. It's called Galaxy Financial Services. Have you ever heard of them?
No, should I have?
Your husband's the chief financial officer.
What?
I need to find Paul. I need to speak to him now.
Paul had nothing to do with the kidnapping.
Maybe, maybe not, but his name's all over the paperwork for the building. And because of his relationship to you and your father, he's going to have to explain that.
Jack, I don't know where he is. He left CTU without saying anything.
Can you reach him?
Well, yeah, I have his cell phone number.
Okay, I want you to call him. I want you to keep it personal. I don't want you to tell him what I know. I just want you to tell me where he is. Audrey, 5 power plants could still melt down. If Paul has any information that can help us stop that from happening, we have to follow through with it. You know that.
All right.
Please get back to me as soon as you can.
Okay, I will.
As Jack ends the call, the same newspaper clipping catches his eye and sends a pang of alarm. 4:35. After a moment's pause, Audrey picks up her cell and phones Paul. From the comfort of his plush hotel room, Paul checks the display on his phone before deciding to answer.
Hello?
Hey. Paul, it's Audrey.
Wasn't expecting to hear from you.
I know, I was just... Look, Paul, I didn't like the way we left things between us.
I didn't care for much either. Look, glad you called, but I'm about to check out.
Where are you going?
What difference does it make?
Look, Paul, I was thinking about what you said, about how we've got so much going on for us.
Though you wanted a divorce.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I just... You know, Paul, today was the first time that we've seen each other in months, and... I don't know, maybe it took a while for it to sink in. Maybe you're right. Maybe there is something there.
Audrey, you know this is what I want more than anything.
Then let me come over. I don't want to have the most important conversation of my life over the phone.
Okay. I'm at the Westmore Hotel, room 408.
All right, I'll be there soon.
Good, I'll wait for you.
Jack to Solaris.
Okay. No one goes back down there until the forensic team gets here. When they do, I want the place torn apart. I want fingerprints, trace DNA samples, fiber samples, everything. You understand?
I understand.
Okay.
Jack to Tony.
Hey, I need to follow up a lead on my own. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to take Dina Rosen or something back to CTU and head up the interrogation.
Wait a second, Jack. You never let me set foot in CTU, even if I wanted to.
Just listen to me. You're the only one I can trust to do this. Over the last 2 hours, I watched my friend come back to life.
It's not that simple, Jack.
If I press hard enough, I can get you reinstated, but I need to know now. Is that what you want?
I don't know.
Maybe I was wrong.
You saved the life of the daughter of the Secretary of Defense, who happens to be my boss. You do know that, right?
Jack. Thanks. I'll do it.
Lee. Agent Almeida will be driving your car.
4:37. Audrey to Jack.
Yeah.
All right, Jack, I spoke with Paul. He's at the Westmore downtown, room 408. I'm heading over there now.
No, Audrey, you need to let us handle this. We don't know Paul's connection to the attack yet. He could be dangerous.
Jack, I don't think we have a choice. He was on his way out the door. I had to make something up just to keep him there.
Fine, I can get there instead.
Jack, I'm only a couple minutes away, and he knows that. He's not going to stick around if I don't show up.
Audrey, I know you're trying to help, but I don't feel comfortable with you going in that room alone.
Jack, it's the only thing that he won't suspect. He's been wanting to talk about the marriage all day long. Look, I'll keep him there until you get there.
No, it's not an option.
Jack, just get there as soon as you can, please.
Audrey. Audrey!
4:42. Heller to Driscoll in the briefing room.
Aaron, I just got off the phone with Jack. He wants me to approve Tony Almeida's reinstatement. Do you have a problem with that?
Considering what Almeida has done for us today, I do not have a problem with that.
Good.
Sir, you said you spoke with Jack. How long ago was that?
10-15 minutes ago. Why?
We have some new information. I'd like to share it with you. We found a curious connection to the terrorists.
What kind of connection?
Paul Raines.
My daughter's husband?
One of his companies is listed as the owner of the building Jack just searched.
The building the terrorists planned the attack from today?
That's the one.
Is anybody going to pick him up?
We have teams on the way to the hotel where he's staying, but he was about to leave, and the only way to keep him there was under a false pretense.
False pretense? What's that supposed to mean?
Jack called to tell us that Audrey's meeting Paul in his room. Jack's on his way over there.
What?
She's going to try and keep him there until our backup teams can take over.
Unacceptable. How could you let this happen?
This wasn't my decision. This was her choice. Jack did everything he could to stop her.
When did you find out about this?
About 5 minutes ago.
That's when you should have told me.
Curtis and Marianne en route to Powell's office.
Want me to look into it?
Yeah. Find out. Tell me everything you know about Paul Raines.
Why?
What's his connection to all this?
How should I know? Look, Curtis, I wish I knew something that you could use. Believe me, I'm quite clear it's my only way out of this. But I don't know any more about Paul Raines than you do.
Curtis stares her out, then questions the driver.
How much longer?
We're about 5 minutes out.
Raines' part in all this is being investigated as we speak. If your name turns up linked to the kidnapping in any way...
It won't. I am going to do everything I can to find something on Powell's computer that will help you. Maybe something about Paul Raines will be on there.
4:45. Audrey enters the lobby of the Westmore Hotel.
Yeah?
What's this I hear about you going to see Paul by yourself?
It's the only way to keep him here.
If Paul was involved in our kidnapping...
Look, Paul would never hurt me.
There is strong evidence to suggest that he was involved, which means he is dangerous.
Look, I don't believe he is.
You don't know what he is, Audrey.
I lived with him for 8 years. I know him.
Yeah, I thought I knew him too. Audrey, I forbid you to do this.
Dad, I'm sorry. I'm already here.
Audrey ends the call with a snap of her cell phone and waits for the lift. Meanwhile, Tony arrives at CTU with Dina and Beruze. Driscoll intercepts them as they enter the main concourse.
Mr. Almeida.
That's right.
Aaron Driscoll, director of CTU.
How are you? This is Mrs. Arraz and her son Beruze. Mrs. Arraz is in need of medical attention right away.
Have her taken care of, then prepare them for interrogation.
We've told you everything we know.
We'll see. You already need these?
A standard badge and gun.
Ms. Driscoll, I'm sure you're aware of my history here.
Not an issue. Jack Bauer and Secretary Heller both vouch for you. That's enough for me.
All right. Thank you. Jack thought it'd be a good idea if I headed up the interrogation.
That makes sense. You've had the chance to observe them firsthand. If there's anything you need, let me know.
An amazed Almeida heads off with a security guard. Driscoll marches over to a suspicious Sarah, busy at her workstation.
The man I was just talking to is Tony Almeida. I want you to keep an eye on him. Let me know if he goes off protocol. I'm particularly interested in...
In any communication between him and Jack Bauer, Secretary Heller.
That's right.
I'm beginning to see how things work around here, Miss Driscoll.
How do things work around here?
You can care less about me being falsely accused and tortured. You're beginning to feel squeezed out and you need allies. That's why you were so nice to me before.
We're facing a crisis today, Sarah. And our first priority is to deal with it successfully. Is that a problem for you?
Not at all. But after what I went through today, if you want my help, I need something too.
And what's that?
I want my arrest expunged. Not explained by an official letter in my file, expunged. And I want a promotion, 2 pay grades.
Done.
4:48. An impatient Paul Raines paces up and down his room in his shirt sleeves. Audrey's arrival brings a sunny smile to his otherwise dour face.
Come on in.
Audrey's smile ebbs away in a tide of uncertainty.
I'm glad you came. Can I get you some?
Sure.
I had them send up your favorite champagne. To tell you the truth, I wasn't sure you'd really come.
Why wouldn't I?
You were so adamant before about ending things, your turnaround was just a little surprising, that's all.
As he turns toward her with two glasses of champagne, he catches her glance at some papers on a table.
How about you? I hardly hear from you for about 6 months, and then you see me with another man, and suddenly you're pouring Dom Perignon.
It shows what a fool I am for not realizing what I had. It also shows that I still have feelings for you. And you must have some for me, too, otherwise you wouldn't be here, right? I would hate to think that you are playing some kind of game with me.
I don't play games, Paul.
Good.
Tentatively, she accepts a glass of champagne.
It's new beginnings.
New beginnings.
Meanwhile, Jack steams along the highway to the rescue. Audrey swallows hard in the embarrassing silence, not quite knowing what to say next. 4:49. End of part 3. Part 4. 4:54.
Miss Driscoll, it's Jack on line 3.
Jack.
Are the backup teams at the Westmore yet?
No, they were caught up in traffic.
I'm still a couple miles out. If your teams get there first, tell them not to waste time coordinating with hotel security. I want them in that room as soon as possible.
Why not put some fiber optics in place first, get a better position on Reins?
Because if Paul's involved, he's going to be nervous. I don't want anything to possibly tip him off before we're ready to enter that room. I don't want Audrey in any more danger than she already is.
Okay, I'll pass that along to tactical.
Has Curtis had a chance to question Marianne about Paul yet?
She says she doesn't know anything about him. But they're about to get in some computer files that might help us find the override.
Okay, thanks, Aaron.
It's right down this hall and to the left.
Powell's office building seems deserted.
Stay alert. This place may not be as empty as it seems.
What, you think this is some kind of trap?
Yes, I do.
But like you said, Curtis, this is my only chance to stay alive. I'm not going to blow it, so relax, okay?
4:55. Marianne leads Curtis and the two CTU backup agents to Powell's glass-fronted office. As Curtis anxiously pans around looking for signs of trouble, Marianne pulls out a security card from her bag and swipes open the door to Powell's office. An agent checks it over and is eventually satisfied that it's safe to proceed.
It's all clear.
Marianne heads over to Powell's desk as the two agents take up positions outside the door like two bouncers at a club. Curtis follows her inside and closes the door behind him. Marianne hacks into Powell's computer and places her thumbprint on a recognition panel. Her print is accepted, and she gains access to the system.
It's only take 1 minute.
Marianne scrolls through a list of files and eventually selects one named Company Listing Directory.
Here it is. All I have to do is reformat and then we can download the data and get out of here.
But another screen opens, asking her to re-enter a password.
Huh.
What?
The file has a second password encryption.
Do you know it?
I think so, but it's strange.
Before Marianne completes the password, two armed men in suits burst through the door.
Hand away from the gun. Take it away.
The files are still secure. I didn't give him anything.
They shoot Marianne dead.
Now put the gun down.
A third man watches from the door as Curtis eases his gun out of its holster.
Put it down.
Curtis slowly places the gun on Powell's desk. One of the armed men nudges him forward towards the balding third man, clearly the one in charge. A shotgun jabs into Curtis's back.
Your name is Curtis Manning. You work for CTU.
You're going to tell me how far along you are in your investigation.
What investigation?
Of the override. Have they discovered where it is yet?
You're an American. And you're working with the terrorists. Who are you?
I'm going to ask you one more time. What does CTU know about the override? Fine.
The butt of the shotgun comes crashing down on Curtis's head, and he collapses to the floor. The two besuited thugs quickly drag him away by the arms past the bodies of the two CTU agents and the staring eyes of a very dead Marianne Taylor. Meanwhile, Dina and Baruz sweat it out in a holding room of CTU, and Heller frets over his daughter's latest dicing with danger. 4:57, Paul to Audrey.
Or I could move to Washington. Could turn West Coast operations over to Ben Simon.
Audrey.
Yes, I heard you. Turn West Coast operations over to Ben Simon.
What do you think?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to decide whether or not you thought he was capable of running.
What do you think of Ben Simon? What do you think of me moving back east?
Oh, I don't know.
Audrey nervously gulps more champagne.
I feel like I'm doing all the work here. You said you wanted to talk. You're not talking.
These things take time, Paul.
Well, maybe talking isn't what we should be doing.
Audrey turns from incredulous to horrified.
Why are you looking at me like that? You're my wife, for God's sake.
I came over here to sleep with you.
Okay, you didn't come over here to sleep with me. You didn't come over here to talk with me. Why did you come?
I thought that maybe we could spend a little time together. It would be nice.
On a day like this? All hell's breaking loose? You thought it'd be nice for us to spend some time together? Well, I guess I really wasn't thinking when you called, was I? What are you doing here? What's really going on? Are you spying on me?
Are you doing something worth spying on?
What is that supposed to mean?
I think
you should stay.
Please just let me go.
Please
let me go. Please.
Just let me just get over. You set me up. Get behind me. Put your hands on your head now. Now. What do you want?
I want answers.
Well, I'm not talking to you.
Held at gunpoint with his hands on his head, Jack strikes Paul across the mouth and he crumples to the floor. 5 p.m. The end.